Hello, welcome back to Walker Wisdom. Today, I am here joined with the Assistant Director of Cultural Property Security, Steve Perkins. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me today. So how would you describe your role at the BCMA?
Well, as the Assistant Director of Cultural Property Security for the college, I am tasked with managing security for all of the college's cultural property facilities, including the Museum of Art, the Perry McMillan Arctic Museum, as well as special collections libraries. So for the museum in particular, it has a fairly complex security system and a lot of staff, a lot of security officers that I supervise. So, there's all kinds of facets to managing that.
How did you find your way to the BCMA?
In 2009, I was self-employed as a studio artist and making a living doing that, but lacked benefits and retirement and, steady income. The income of an artist is sporadic, as I'm sure you're aware. And I decided to get a part-time job as a casual museum security officer at the museum. And from there, I found that it suited me and I liked it. I liked the work. I liked my colleagues that I was working with. And I moved up to a part-time position, and then from there moved up to the full-time supervisor eventually.
How did being in charge of securing the artworks, did it change your perspective on how you practice art?
I can tell you that a huge benefit of the position, and it doesn't really have that much to do with security. It just has to do with spending that much time with art. Mm-hmm. All the time I spent around the art, in the galleries, because I was, on duty on the floor for years, I felt like I was just sort of absorbing work made by a very diverse group of artists from every era, and I felt like it was sort of subtly changing the way I make art and the perception I have as an artist. It's a bit unique. I mean, most artists, while they're familiar with art history and see a lot of art and go to museums on a regular basis, don't reach the kind of saturation level that museum security officers do, mm-hmm. Because we're literally in the galleries more than anyone else in the museum. So that's what was sort of significant about that for me.
In the initial stages of your career, did you envision art playing such a major role?
I can tell you that I knew I was going to be an artist by the time I was an adolescent, and pursued it through, was just avid and passionate about it from there on in, and, went to art school. I've got two art degrees. Never thought I'd be in the security role. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the big stretch for me, and still is when I think about it, because, I come from a generation where, I had long hair and earring and, ripped jeans covered with paint. I mean, I was a bohemian. I was an artist. I was, really enthralled and engaged with the avant-garde of the day and, passionate about it and sort of anti-establishment, as everybody was back then. And as many artists still are, So for me to go from that world to the security world, which can be very somewhat conservative, was an interesting stretch, but as it turns out, a good fit for me. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly.
Do you find yourself collaborating with another department within the BCMA or outside of it particularly often?
The exterior department to the BCMA that I collaborate probably most often with would be facilities for all the, climate systems and electrical systems, mm-hmm. and, mechanical systems that the museum uses. Within the museum, I definitely collaborate closely with the registrar, mm-hmm. And the preparators, as well as the associate director of operations, Amy, just in sort of general about policy and, mm-hmm. and, certain issues that may have to do with finances, but also events, the events planning folks, like Amanda or, Sabrina as well. I work with pretty closely just to make sure that there's enough, you know, good security for whatever event might be happening.
Can you tell me more about your experience working with the Arctic Museum as well?
Ah, yes. That's a bit different than my previous role here. I left for 5 years and worked at other academic institutions, but the Arctic Museum is brand new, as I'm sure you're aware. They have a brand new building, and they're out of Hubbard Hall and you know, now in their own facility. And so we're still a little bit in the formation phase, I guess, of determining what their security is going to look like. They never had security, or very little, at Hubbard Hall. And so the college deciding to introduce security into their operations is new. And so we're working with them, you know, particularly Susan Kaplan, who's the director, to develop security for them. But it's going to be different from the Museum of Art. It won't be quite as strict. There's a little bit of a different culture with the anthropological collection they have. So that's sort of the short answer. But we're still, it's a work in progress.
Yes, yes. How would you say your work-life balance is?
It's okay. I would like, you know, as an artist, I'd always like more studio time.
Yeah.
You know, I do some work at home. I mean, I'm here 40 hours a week, officially, but I'm on call 24/7. And so, you know, I do work at home, a bit, and, you know, do some problem solving when I'm not here. And it's a lot right now. It's a lot. And you know, one of the biggest issues right now is staffing, which is, I think, the whole entire college is experiencing this. And so I've also been called upon to come in and, you know, work the floor to help out with coverage. So there's that, too. I've, you know, sort of gotten a lot of overtime.
Yeah. But thank you so much for your hard work.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
What surprised you most as you settled into your position here?
The second time around, I have to say what pleasantly surprised me, a couple of things. One was the college's commitment to cultural property security. It's a little bit unusual to find a position like this where they're managing multiple institutions, and that's a great thing. You know, they obviously take very seriously protecting their assets here at Bowdoin. And then the other thing was sort of just a more striking thing upon my return to Maine and Bowdoin College. I have worked in Massachusetts and New Hampshire at other institutions. And while I enjoyed my work there and you know, great colleagues I had, there is very clearly a more robust sense of humor here in Maine. and I'm not quite sure why that is. I don't know that I was aware of it when I was here so much, but I definitely was aware of it coming back, that folks here are a little more relaxed and tend to have more of a sense of humor. So that was a surprise.
Along the motto of Maine being vacation land, according to the license plates.
I'm not sure if that's it. I think people are just, you know, more relaxed. I think, you know, Boston is sort of a tense place to be for a lot of folks. And New Hampshire was you know, as rural as I was. I was at Dartmouth. Still, you know, folks were a little more grim than they are here.
Yeah.
So not to besmirch those institutions.
Yes, but
you know, but
yeah, different environments for different people.
Yeah. Yep.
In your many years of experience here, have you seen a change in the way the BCMA and other museums operate?
There has been a shift, not so much here at Bowdoin, but in other institutions, there has been a definite shift toward a visitor experience model, which is a little bit different from, you know, security guards. I think before there was that sort of guard, maybe, you know, slash kind of, you know, law enforcement feel to museum security. And there's been a lot of work done and on visitor experience and having the museum staff who are in the galleries, who interact with visitors and protect the collection, sort of shift more towards a docent role or a combination of a security and a docent role. And I think that that's been good. I appreciate the work that's been done in that regard. But I also think that I have encountered instances where I felt like security did suffer a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, that they had backed off to a degree where things were being dealt with,
yes,
you know, effectively.
Mm-hmm. I know that the BCMA security guards are really able to effectively make sure the visitors are having a good experience while also not sacrificing the most important role, which is the security.
I'm glad you feel that way, because mm-hmm. that's, I mean, we do make an effort in training and just in our culture as a team to, you know, while we're not visitor experience per se, you know, I think the members of the team and the officers are pretty sensitive and savvy and experienced,
yes,
you know, in making visitors feel welcome and being helpful.
Yes.
And, you know, in understanding the exhibits and aspects of the collection, you know, in a way that they can share with visitors in a, you know, in a positive way. So
looking back, is there a specific project that you're most proud of?
You know, I think that a couple of things come to mind. Mm-hmm. Both here and at Dartmouth, I did a lot of writing for standard operation procedures, mm-hmm. You know, SOP manuals, training manuals. And I tied it all together here. Some of it was done already, but it was not comprehensive here. So I did that here before I left. And then when I was at Dartmouth, they hired me specifically to do that. So when I was there, I did produce a very large SOP document for them mm-hmm. that standardized their security protocols. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud of that. But I think above and beyond that, my interest in interdepartmental collaboration as a tool for security is something that I felt good about when I was working at Dartmouth. I developed it there and then I brought it here. And, you know, it's something that is a way to build bridges between museum professionals mm-hmm. and just, you know, the college community as a whole, too, that I think is just really important. You know, not just to enhance security, but to enhance our community. Yes. So I'm proud of that.
Mm-hmm. What is the most rewarding part of your role?
You know, it's sort of a combination. Aside from the exposure to the art, mm-hmm. it's also, you know, just being with my colleagues who are, you know, knowledgeable and fun to work with. And, you know, it's, I think it's as much people as it is the actual collection. I get to see great stuff and I get to work with great people. So those two things.
What is the most memorable experience you've had here?
I think probably it was early on. I don't remember the actual year, but it was sometime after 2009. The museum had the Edward Hopper exhibition mm-hmm. and the Hopper exhibit broke every attendance record we had, you know, and there were days when we had 700 people in the galleries.
Oh my gosh.
And it was, you know, it was a very stressful, you know, in terms of security.
Yes.
But it was just such a blockbuster show. It was also a great show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a fan of Hopper, and the front gallery, Osher, was devoted to his plein air studies from Monhegan that he did as a younger artist. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody had seen in 30 or 40 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, and then that was really exciting to see those. So that was quite memorable.
Do you have any interesting stories from your time as a security guard? I know you still do work the floor now, but any funny, interesting, quirky stories that you could think of?
A number of years ago when I had an exhibit of Richard Tuttle, mm-hmm. who's a wonderful artist and just a lovely person. But he brought a dog, but he also had a snake in a, like a little carrying uh-huh. bag. And the dog ran around the office space. We let the dog run around out there. Mm-hmm. And he carried the snake in a bag around the galleries. And that was a different and interesting. he was a lot of fun. Just the way he came at the exhibit was just unique. You know, I mean, his idea of lighting one of the galleries that was full of his work was to have Jose point the lights on blank wall space mm-hmm. and not on the work itself, which was interesting to watch mm-hmm. them do that, because Jose kept, I think, responding like, are you sure this is where you want? And yeah, and he was pointing with a big stick and yeah, like, no, like don't shine it on that. And I think his sense of play uh-huh. was just in full swing, thankfully. you know, in some regards, it was a bit of a controversial show because it was so conceptual and not, you know, traditional art.
Yes.
However, I really liked it. I thought it was great to have a show like that that was just pushing the boundary.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Do you find that your interests also play into how your works manifest?
Somewhat. I have found when I arrived at Bowdoin in 2009, I had worked through sort of a whole decades of representational painting to the point where I was almost at a photorealist stage in my work. Very, very, you know, very highly developed, detailed realism landscape. And I think the exposure to the museum started to chip away at that. And so where I'm at now, I still do representational work. I do planar landscape and some other, you know, landscape, but also botanical drawings, just very straightforward, you know, renderings for, you know, identification purposes. And so that's also kind of straightforward. But then the other work I do is more abstract and playful and inventive and just kind of wherever I want it to go and whenever I want it to be. And I've stepped away from, you know, having to make the perfect, you know, spatially correct work, which is great. And in a way, I almost feel like I've ended up kind of cycling back to the work I was doing in college, you know, which was more inventive and more abstract. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely, I think, you know, all the exposure to all the various artwork I've you know, been around has pushed me in that direction. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why, but it has.
I know that you do have some botanical expertise and that you do take care of the flowers that are in our pavilion. And so would you please say a few words on how you got into that?
You know, just another lifelong passion. I have always had plants in my life since I was a child, and it just developed over the years. I had a job growing orchids right after grad school for a horticultural designer from Manhattan, and then worked in nurseries. And in 2012, I became a Maine master naturalist. And so the botanical interest has just always been there, and it's just grown over time. When I did the master naturalist program, part of it was journaling, which to me was just, you know, getting back into a practice of sketchbook discipline. And I guess what I did is I rediscovered drawing, and drawing plants just is endlessly satisfying to me. But yeah, I was president of the Maine Orchid Society for a while too. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I've just been doing it my whole life. Mm-hmm. Nature and art have always been my two passions, and luckily they have tended to, you know, dovetail with each other. Not always, but, you know, because a lot of my landscape actually tended to be industrial subject matter, like factories and mills. Mm-hmm. I was fascinated with smokestacks and old buildings and things like that. But, you know, that's in a way that became a commentary on the environment. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, that was a long answer, but.
How did the orchids in the pavilion right now come about?
You know, I think I'm not quite sure. I believe that was Frank Goodyear's request.
Okay.
Years ago. And we just always have had Phalaenopsis orchids in those big pots at the foot of the stairs. Yes. It's nice. Adds a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. You've been able to be a caretaker of those?
I water them. And I pick the dead flowers off and cut the spikes when they're done, but that's about it. I mean, you know, they have some kind of a vendor who brings new ones in, takes the old ones out away or something like that.
What is a piece of advice that you would give to those interested in getting into museum work?
You know, I thought about that, and I think that what I would say is if you're interested in museum work, absorb as much art history in as diverse a way as you possibly can, because that will help you. I mean, if you know about the history of art and in a global sense, then you're sort of coming to a museum job with a vocabulary that will just not only, you know, give you a shared language with, you know, the other people who are working there, but also enhance your understanding. So I would say art history and, you know, lots of it and lots of museum going.
And what about advice for visual artists?
Visual artists. I don't know. I mean, I would recommend a part-time museum security job, you know, because you're in the galleries for long periods of time. And, you know, I feel empowered by the mm-hmm. absorption of looking at the art for so long. So I would recommend it. The other thing is that visual artists are never bored mm-hmm. as security officers. I have, you know, managed folks over the years who have very little or no interest in art. And for them, it can be a very tedious job because they're just standing there, you know, with things around them that they don't care about. Mm-hmm. So not a good fit.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming to Walker Wisdom today. It's been amazing talking to you and getting the additional perspective of a visual artist here on the show.
Well, my pleasure, Andrew. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening.